Good evening, everyone. So I know we have no Alabama Crimson Tide fans here. So glad that you are attending Mass today. We're gathering together to celebrate the solemnity of Mary, Mother of God, as we close out this octave of Christmas. And what I'd like to do in our time together is sort of extend the theme that I've been talking about during this Christmas season. If you've been listening to my homilies or been to the Mass, I've said Christmas Day, we looked a little bit at what a true representation or understanding of the birth of Christ would be, to sort of give it a more human face, to understand the maternity of Mary and Joseph and Jesus there on Christmas. And then, of course, on Sunday, we looked at the Feast of the Holy Family to give a more realistic understanding to our devotion to the Holy Family. And so I want to look today at the motherhood of Mary through that same lens. Just like when it comes to Christmas or the Holy Family, it's so easy for us to sort of envision Mary as a mother in this sort of very pious, abstract, detached way of sort of an expressionless Mary holding the little baby Jesus. And while that is all pious and wonderful, it really doesn't tend to, at least in our sort of contemporary world, fire devotion in the heart. And so we want to look today at Mary as mother, not so much as the mother of God or the mother of Jesus, but as our mother. As we believe in John chapter 19, that Jesus gave Mary to St. John as his mother, and in doing so, gave her to all of us as our heavenly mother. And so what we're going to do is, or what I like to try to do, is take our own human experience from our own mothers or other mothers that we've known and try to better understand the maternity and the motherhood of Our Lady. Because, of course, Scripture is important, but our own experience of motherhood, our own understanding is important too. Why? Because Mary was human. She would have exhibited the same motherly traits that we believe to be important or integral to motherhood. And it's going to help, God willing, to sort of make this understanding of Mary as our mother a little less abstract, a little less detached, and to be able to hopefully increase devotion and love for her as our mother. And so we have a handful of characteristics that I'd like to look at. The first is this, is that a mother is proud of her children. Proud of her children, particularly when they excel, or when they have successes. So you think when a child wins the spelling bee or does well at school and gets the honor roll, a mom is very proud of her children, proud of their achievements. And even when the child grows up to be an adult, whenever the child maybe gets the promotion at work or wins some sort of a civic award, mom is proud of her son and daughter, proud of their successes. And so the same way, Our Lady is proud of us as our mother. Not only when we succeed in the world and do great things, but more importantly, when we make advancement, when we excel and have successes in the spiritual life. Maybe when we grow in holiness, resist a certain temptation, we've got to understand that Our Lady is not just sitting back there detached saying, oh, look how impressive that is. No, she's really proud of us, that she rejoices when we rejoice. She is proud of us when we succeed. The second thing is that a mother has tremendous compassion for her children. And the word compassion means to suffer with. When we think of compassion, we think, oh, well, I sort of have pity for you. It's not what it is. Compassion is a willing to suffer with the one who is suffering. It's a certain another way we can use the term empathy, to be able to suffer and to really feel what another is suffering. And so the mother's heart has a tremendous compassion when she sees her child suffering. Maybe a broken leg, suffering because they're rejected at school and are bullied or don't have friends. In so many ways, and again, when the child gets older, to see the child maybe diagnosed with cancer, the child lose his or her job. The mother's heart goes out and not only sympathizes, but empathizes, has compassion. She suffers too when she sees her child suffering. And we know that Our Lady did this when she looked and beheld her son on the cross. Scripture says that the sword pierced her heart. She suffered along with Jesus. She had tremendous compassion. And so when Our Lady sees us suffering, and the many, many ways that we encounter darkness and trial and pain in our lives, Our Lady is there with us. Not just saying, oh, look at that poor person suffering. She sees us as her children, and her heart goes out. She feels the same pain. We need to be able to realize and recognize that. Third, and I think in a certain sense, probably the most importantly, that a mother loves her child, particularly when the child feels that he or she is unlovable. And children go through this. Whenever the child may make a mistake or be disobedient or break a rule, particularly if he's caught, the tremendous shame that's felt in the heart of the soul. And even when we get older, the shame that we feel whenever we commit grave sins. And what happens is we feel ashamed for our actions, or sometimes even feel ashamed for ourselves, and put up these great walls and tend to reject love, tend to reject anyone who says, so even in your sin, you are still lovable, you are still good. And so Our Lady is able, just like a good mother, to see beyond that. Even though we may push her away, she still continually reaches out to us in our darkness. For me, probably the greatest expression of this is something I talk about in almost all of my talks in Our Lady, is that very beautiful and poignant scene from Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. After Peter is denied knowing Jesus three times, our Lord looks at him, and Peter feels this tremendous shame and runs away. He's running away. He runs into Our Lady and sort of pleads to her, Mother, I've denied knowing your son. I'm so ashamed. And so Our Lady continually reaches out in a very gentle way to touch him on his head or his face, but he pulls away and then ends up running away because the shame, the darkness takes over. But that scene illustrates that no matter how bad we feel for denying Christ, no matter how ashamed we may be, Our Lady never rejects us. She never judges us. She's constantly reaching out in mercy and tenderness to remind us and make us feel, if we're allowing ourselves to receive her love, that we are truly lovable. Fourth, and this should be common sense, a mother always prays for her children, in good times and in bad, particularly in bad. And I see this a lot of the times, mothers whose hearts are broken because their child is suffering, and praying for that child, particularly as the child gets older and maybe falls into grave sin, gets involved in alcohol and drugs, or maybe strays from the church and strays from the faith. The heart is broken, but the mother doesn't allow the despair to take over, but instead she prays, those rosaries, novenas, holy hours, calling out to God for her children. And so if Mary does that, if a mother does that, imagine how Our Lady does it for us. Particularly because every time we pray a Hail Mary, what do we pray? Pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. We, your children, saying, Mom, will you pray for us? Particularly throughout our entire lives and especially on our deathbed. Please pray for us. And we know that she does. John chapter 2 shows this. At the wedding of Cana, the couple runs out of wine, and what does Mary do? She notices it. She's the first to notice it and brings it to Jesus, which is a prayer. It's interceding. Lord, take care of what they need. My son, take care of their lack. Our Lady is constantly doing that, praying for us and interceding on our behalf in ways we may not even understand or know for the things that we need. She is going to Jesus with those things because she is our mother and because she loves us. And then fifth and finally, and this is probably the most mysterious and difficult to understand and even difficult to explain, a mother is willing to sacrifice for her child. When a mother is pregnant for the child, in a certain sense, you could say her whole body is offered up as a sacrifice. The toll, the baby takes on the woman's body as the woman provides nutrients and food, and the sacrifices the mother makes so her child can grow up to be healthy and whole and integral in his body and soul. The mother makes tremendous sacrifices for her children, willing to deny herself things so the child may grow and to have a life better than her life. And I know, I've spoken to many mothers who see in their children lost or suffering. The mom would be willing to give her very life so that her child might be willing to live and find happiness. We know that Our Lady did this, that she was willing to make that sacrifice. It was the sword that pierced her heart. She, at the foot of the cross, offered the sacrifice of her inability to do anything as she witnessed her son offer that ultimate sacrifice. Now again, I don't know how this would happen, or I can't explain it, particularly in our own lives. But if a mother is willing to make sacrifices for her children, Our Lady is willing to make sacrifices for us in some deep, mysterious way, in ways we may not understand until we get to heaven. And she can illustrate to show, this is how I made sacrifices so that you might avoid sin and come to draw closer to Jesus Christ. So many other ways that we could come up with to understand ways that as we understand our own experience of motherhood, that it can deepen our understanding of Mary's motherhood and maternity. So that she's more than just an icon. She's more than just a statue. She is truly our mother. One of the big problems that we've had since Vatican II, not because of Vatican II, is sort of a waning of Marian devotion. It used to be Catholics were known by their devotion to Our Lady, praying the rosary as a family, images of Our Lady in their home, praying novenas, belonging to sodalities. Now, many Catholics don't even know how to pray the rosary. They don't know the basic Marian devotions. I really think if we could deepen our understanding of the maternity of Mary, of how Mary is our mother, and in a very human, real way, this can, God willing, rekindle the fire of Marian devotion in our church. And as we draw closer to Our Lady and know her love for us as our Heavenly Mother, we can be assured that she, as she always does, will draw us closer to the heart of her Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.